Okay, here we go. Obviously, we had to change the song. Ran into a little bit of copyright problem when it got posted on YouTube, which is complete bullshit because I got it from a copyright website, so that annoyed me a little bit, but whatever.
Well, thanks, Oak, for the new song.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. It might change again. I don't know, but this one seems to fit pretty good. I tend to like that dubstep opening. But anyways, you're listening to Music Myths and Cannabis. My name's Leon, sitting here with my good buddy, Daryl.
How's it going today?
It is going pretty good. A little warm here in BC.
Oh, yeah.
This week, actually, I want to touch something first. Last week, we were talking about having like a cliffhanger about the weed. Bunch of people didn't like that, so I'm not going to do that. So I'll try to wrap it up. The only thing is that it's impossible for me to tell you how it all feels in the last 10 minutes of the show, because you don't necessarily, like, sometimes it's like 15 minutes.
Yeah, the buzz could take longer to kick in.
Exactly. So that's where my thinking was, but got a bunch of, I can't say negative reviews, but just people saying, oh, what do you, don't do that, don't do that. I also get so many people saying we should do a show a week.
Yeah, I can see that.
I put in so much freaking time trying to come up with 15 minutes. Just, it's not that, like, most of the conversation is off the top of the head, but I don't want to make a mistake and have the wrong name or the wrong date or something. So I do research, but...
Yeah, I bet I do too as well.
I swear to God, I put in 4 hours of research just for 15 minutes of babbling. But anyways, so the carryover part, which I won't do again as far as that last weed went, I think it was platinum garlic. The good part was I did get a nice buzz off. I could feel it heavy in my eyes. Didn't mind that. Negative, I'd have to add those. It was one of those ones you had to keep relighting it. As soon as you stop smoking it, it would stop smoking, and I can't stand that in the weed. So I'm going to give that, oh, I don't know, what? 3 rolling papers out of 10.
Yeah, the flavor was okay. It wasn't the greatest.
Exactly. Music-wise, so that's the end of that platinum garlic. We'll probably try it again because I do have access to, like, not different strains of it, but, like, different attempts with different nutrients or whatever. So sometimes it's going to be better. And MAC-1 is another one that's pretty prominent and popular, which we did do that one already, but I had the opportunity to try it again and different growers and what, and I was thinking about trying that one again. So, but there's a lot of different weeds out there for sure. This week I was going to talk about, actually this was your idea, you were saying maybe frontmen of bands that are dead, but the thing is I wanted to stay away from, I had such a hard time coming up with people this week because I wanted to stay away from the 70s stuff.
Yeah.
And I wanted to stay away from bands who are the main guy. So, like, say Stevie Ray Vaughan, he's of course, there's a story there.
Yeah.
But he's Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Yeah, he's not really a band.
No.
It is a band, but yes.
So I tried to really stick with bands. That's that caused me a little bit of a headache, but there's lots of it out there. And if we don't cover, we got a lot of names here to cover. So if we don't cover the whole story or whatever, like I said before, I don't want to hear about it because we might do...
Might come back to it.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got a couple here. I'm going to start off with Michael Hutchence. In Excess. Were you an In Excess fan?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I like a few songs for sure.
I know the main...
I did see them without him, though.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Who was singing for him?
They had that show, remember, where they, like, auditioned people to be their new singer?
You saw him?
Yeah, I saw that guy, yeah.
I saw a little,
I want to say his name was, like, Luca or something from Montreal, or maybe I'm thinking of a different thing.
I saw a documentary about them, and it went into the fact that they did that... reality
that name
show.
Is totally wrong, by the way. Now that I think about it.
Luca.
Yeah.
My name is Luca.
That was from the other one where it was the same similar thing. Tommy Lee, Jason Newsted, Dave Navarro looked for a singer.
Yeah.
They had a show like that. That's what I was thinking of, but yeah.
Okay. But you are totally right. They did do a show, and it was like a reality show, and they ended up coming up with a singer. And they did have a little bit of success with them.
Yeah, it was
actually.
All right. It was okay live.
And this was like 10 or 15 years after he was dead.
Yeah, easily.
But Michael Hutchence is from Australia. He moved around a lot as a kid because of his dad's job. And he was actually going to be a professional swimmer. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
Broke his arm. And that killed that dream.
Yeah.
He actually had his first recording as a kid. He was 8 years old. And he recorded some kind of jingle for a toy company.
Huh.
Thought that was kind of interesting. He had some success. He was, like, fairly successful at this time. I think it was, 1992, I think it was. And he's in Copenhagen. And somehow he got into some kind of altercation with a cab driver. And he got his head hit. I don't know if he got hit. And then he hit his head on the curb or if the cab driver hit him with something. And he didn't go to the hospital for days. And that he ended up losing his sense of smell and his sense of taste. And people around him started to say that his personality changed after that. he had periods of depression and things. And I guess he got to the point where he pretty much had tried to attack each and every single member of the band.
Oh, wow.
Around 95, he started dating Polly Yates. She had three kids with Bob Geldof. Of course, you know who Bob Geldof is.
Yep.
And I guess that was a big mess. The two volatile people kind of reminded me of Sid and Nancy. And then on November 22nd, 97, he was found in the Ritz-Carlton in Australia. He'd taken his own life, questionable circumstances, some people say. I guess he was upset and he called everybody. Like, he phoned Bob, he phoned his ex-girlfriends and stuff. And one of his ex-girlfriends came to his room, and I guess she knocked on the door, but nobody answered. And there was speculation that if he didn't die from that, erotic asphyxia?
You know what I'm trying to say.
So, I don't know, maybe she did get into the room. They did their thing, and who knows?
No one will never know.
Nope. No note, though. Who do you got?
Who do I got? I got Chester.
Chester Lincoln
From Linkin Park. Chris Cornell.
Right, right.
Both of them are really good friends, actually.
That's right. I had read that.
Chris died first. What do I have here? Yeah, on May 18th, Chris Cornell passed away. And then not long behind him, on July 20th, 2017, Chester had taken his own life as well.
Linkin Park's one of those bands where I never really got into them that much, but when I do hear them, it's like, whoa, this is way heavier.
Yeah, I like a lot of their songs for sure.
It's way heavier than I thought.
Yeah, they've sold over 55 million albums worldwide.
No way.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
I got a buddy, he's from a different country, one of those countries that are like over there.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was saying that Linkin Park is absolutely enormous in his country.
Yeah, I never knew that Chester was in the films Crank and also the second one, Crank High Voltage, and Saw 3D as well.
No, I didn't know that.
Me either.
I'm going to have to watch that now.
Yeah. Yeah, he struggled with depression and substance abuse. I guess at 7 years old, he was sexually abused by a male friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was scared to tell anybody about it, that he might be gay or a liar or something, right?
He had he was inspired by Stone Temple Pilots. He wanted to be a singer for the band.
Yeah.
And he ended up being a singer
for the
band.
He did, yeah, yeah.
I didn't know that until like researching this a little bit.
Yeah. Lost it here, sorry.
It's okay, I can edit that out. Or not.
Yeah, he was also a godfather to Chris Cornell's son.
Okay.
Both their wives were really good friends, I guess, which made them closer.
I didn't know that.
And then Chris Cornell, he sold over 14.8 million albums between Soundgarden, Audioslave, his solo stuff, nominated for 18 Grammys, winning 3.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. He battled with depression when he was younger. Age 14, he had a really bad PCP experience, which led to panic disorder, I guess.
Huh. Wow. Who does PCP?
Yeah. And he was married to Susan Silver, who was a manager of Alice in Chains, Screaming Trees, and Soundgarden.
I didn't know that connection either.
Yeah. And then he was also another lead singer who died, Andrew Wood from Temple of Dog, used to be roommates with Chris Cornell.
Did you? You must have heard that Nothing Compares to You he did with his daughter, eh?
Yeah, it's amazing, yeah.
You know, a funny thing about that is Prince wrote that song, as you probably know.
Yeah, yeah.
And when...
I didn't know that for a long time. I always thought it was Sinead O'Connor.
Well, when she did it,
yeah,
Prince got pissed off at her because
really?
I guess she was doing interviews and she swore too much. He didn't like that, and he is a fucking weirdo.
Yeah.
So he wanted to have a meeting with her, and when she showed up for the meeting, he says, "I want to have a pillow fight with you because of this." So he had a pillow fight with her, and she swears to God that he had something hard in his pillowcase and basically hurt her. She never talked to him again.
Have you ever seen Soundgarden?
Soundgarden, no.
Saw them like 3 times.
Nice. Where, in Vancouver?
First time in Toronto, 1990 with Faith No More and Voivod.
Oh, no way.
And then 92 at Lollapalooza, which was really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then again in 92 at the Commodore, and that was probably like one of the best concerts I've ever seen.
Faith No More, I always liked them.
Yeah, they're really good.
They were good. Except for that lead singer guy. He was so weird. He was in like 20 different bands.
He's in so many bands, yeah.
And he's just kind of bizarre. But
Mike Patton.
There you go. Yeah. But that album, Epic? Or is that the song?
That's the song. Yeah,
that's the song.
Yeah,
I always thought that was interesting because that was when rap and heavy metal, there wasn't very much of that stuff mixing together.
No, not much at all.
I like that. But anyways, we weren't talking about him. He's alive.
Yeah.
I got Bon Scott here.
Okay.
So AC/DC, I can't say original singer, but the one that basically took off, the band took off with. They formed in 1973. The funny thing, they're all so short. Hey, did you know this?
Yeah, they're super short.
Oh, like Angus is like 5'2". Malcolm was 5'3". Brian Johnson, their new singer, he's 5'5". Bon Scott was 5'5". Tallest guy, I think, was Cliff Williams, and he was towering at 5'8".
I always thought it'd be funny to meet like your idol, and he's like this little 5-foot guy.
Absolutely. I think I hear Tom Cruise is quite a little guy.
Really?
Yeah, so there you go. It's one of those. They got their name. Do you know how they got their name, AC/DC?
The back of a sewing machine?
Yeah, Angus's sister. So yeah. It had a little switch, and I guess it could be either plug it into a wall or run it off a battery, and it said AC/DC, so they got that. And even though we weren't supposed to be talking about Angus, I always found it interesting that he wears that schoolboy outfit. And the reason why he wore that was because he was so young that he would go right from school to these bars, and he didn't have time to change.
Yeah.
They tried to change it a little bit, and there's some video of him wearing like a dinosaur outfit or something like that, but that was too gimmicky, and they just went back to the schoolboy outfit. He was super young too. I think by the time Back in Black came out, he was still only 20.
Oh really? I'm not sure on the age there. I've only seen them once.
I've seen them once in Saskatchewan. I saw them on the Blow Up Your Video Tour.
Yeah.
Great show.
I everybody in the crowd is like singing every song.
Oh yeah. Well, their music is so like, I mean, I don't want to use the word simple, but it's so basic, but yeah, it's so rhythmic. And it's just like awesome.
Well, there's that interview with Angus, like, you guys have done 17 albums that sound exactly the same. And he's like, no, we've done 18.
That sound exactly the same.
Yeah.
I love those smart ass answers. But Bon Scott, he was a little bit older than the rest of the guys in the band. And he was a harsh drinker. Like, he loved his Jack Daniels. So he would be drinking, like, after the shows, he'd be drinking and trying to get women and all this kind of stuff. And the other guys, they're basically, to this day, they go to the back after the shows and just drink tea. They're definitely not partiers by any means. But Bon Scott, harsh alcoholic. He went to hang out at a friend's house in 1980. He was born in 1946, but in 1980, they had a bit of success. They were just about to bust it, and he went out drinking, and a friend went to drive him home. He couldn't wake him up, so he just drove back to his house and left him in the car, and then in the morning, he was dead.
Yeah, I've heard that he froze, and then I've heard that he puked, and he choked on
I've heard that one too, yeah.
And but then there's a song that Ozzy wrote about him, Suicide Solution.
That's about Bon Scott. No, I didn't know that. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Before Bon Scott, well, actually, when he died, they were just working on the Back in Black album. And there was actually, I've heard two songs that he sang that we know as with Brian Johnson singing it.
Yeah, I've heard that they took his notebook and maybe used some of his lyrics too, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Mm. I hadn't heard that, but
because the lyrics kind of changed after that with the next album, Flick of the Switch. So,
oh, that's interesting.
Maybe.
Hey, but you must have seen the video that was his name, Dave Evans.
Dave Evans? Yeah, the original singer.
Yeah, horrible.
Yeah,
absolutely horrible.
Yeah,
so,
wasn't.
No surprise.
I don't think they would have went too far with him.
No, I don't think so either.
And I like how those guys still—that's their claim to fame. Still, they're do some live shows.
That's about all I got on Bon. I mean, I got other stuff here, but we're already running out of time here.
Yep.
Who else you got?
Lane from Alice in Chains.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of my favorite singers for sure.
Totally.
Well, I think we all know how he died.
Mm-hmm.
Speedball overdose on April 5th, 2020. He was only 34 and he only weighed 86 pounds at the time of his death.
Yeah. I heard he was partially decomposed when they found him.
Yeah. I think he was there for like 2 weeks before they actually found him.
They actually had what happened and what I read anyways, what happened was, is that the manager had noticed that no money was coming out of his account for 2 weeks. So they were like, hey, well, if he's not taking money out, what's going on? They sent somebody over to check on him, and sure enough, he was toast.
Apparently, the night before he died, the ex-bass player, Mike Starr, was over, and they got in a big argument about Mike wanting to phone 911 on him, that he was just that bad, that it was, he's got to phone somebody.
Oh, because you had mentioned that argument with Mike Starr. Is that that what you're talking about?
Yes, yeah.
I got you.
Was the original bass player, who has now passed away as well. And there's also a rumor, since there was no drugs found at all, except for paraphernalia, did Mike Starr take all the drugs when he left? I don't know.
If he took them, was he like trying to save his buddy from embarrassment, or was he just a harsh drug addict?
I'd say the harsh drug addict myself, but yeah.
Probably. Did you know his middle name when he was born was Rutherford, and he hated it so bad that he changed it to Thomas?
Oh, really?
After Tommy Lee of Motley Crue.
Yeah. Huh. Did not know that. Did you know they were a glam band before?
No.
Yeah, they were called Diamond Lie with all the makeup and the hair and everything.
No, I didn't know that. Yeah, he started off as a drummer, and his last known recording was of The Wall, Pink Floyd's The Wall, with Tom Morello, who I'm a huge fan of.
Yeah, yeah. What about awesome. Mad Season? Do you know them?
No.
That's his one of his other bands, side project with Mike McCready from Pearl Jam.
Does it have that same kind of grunge?
Yeah, it's so good.
Really?
You need to hear it.
I need to hear that. He died the same day as Kurt Cobain, only 8 years later.
Yes.
That was news to me.
Yeah, no, I'm a huge fan of that. I've seen them once at Clash of the Titans, which was kind of weird because they were playing with like Slayer, Anthrax, and Megadeth.
Mm-hmm.
And Alice in Chains was opening. Yeah, that was like amazing.
I've got a huge list of people here, and we're almost running out of time. One of the guys I put down was Peter Steele.
Okay, yeah, Type O Negative.
Type O Negative, yeah. Born in 1962.
He guy's died a giant.
2010. I didn't know he was a giant. Yeah. 6'8".
Yeah.
My God, that's a big man.
Yeah.
And he died from, I saw three write-ups about what he had died from. One of them was a heart attack, and the other one was something else. And then the last one I read was basically diverticulitis, which I have. So that kind of freaked me out.
Oh, wow. Really?
And it's not that big of a deal. All it is that you, in your intestines, you get a little infection, and it's almost like a little hernia kind of thing, and then it gets infected. But he must have got infected, and then it took over his body, and that killed him. But one guy I have to mention is Gord Downie.
Yeah, Tragically Hip.
Yeah, Tragically Hip, also known as, did you know this, his other name?
No.
Well, Cappy O'Mani.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's from his, he had a lot of contributions for First Nations and things. And did you ever see that Secret Path?
No, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Sorry, I'm choking up here.
Yeah, well, Gordy was awesome.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. That's why you're choking up.
It was very sad, the last concert they had on CBC.
Oh, I watched it this weekend. And yeah, if you're not a Tragically Hip fan, I wouldn't necessarily say to watch this and you'll become one, because he had definitely deteriorated.
Yeah.
But he had some kind of cancer in his head. I couldn't tell you the name of it because it had like 17 letters and two of them were vowels. So I'm not even going to try. But they went in and they took parts of his brain out, basically, to... not lengthen his life, but made his last couple years more just livable. And wow, did he ever change. He used to do that screaming thing, and by the time you watch that concert, long time running, he's pretty much just screaming every word.
It's one band I've never seen.
Yeah, I remember you telling me that. I have seen them, I think, twice, I have to say.
I like that Killer Whale Tank, if you know what I'm talking about.
No, what?
No? You don't know the song Killer Whale Tank? Oh, okay, you got to look that up.
By the Hip?
Yep.
There a lot of their songs. They sang a lot about Canadian history, which I always thought was.
I don't think
awesome.
They really made it outside of Canada too much.
Down in New Orleans,
yes,
they're big.
New Orleans is singing.
New Orleans is sinking, and I don't want to swim. They actually stopped doing that one. Apparently,
really
after the flood in New Orleans.
No, I did hear about that. Yes, you're right.
So
too bad. Good song.
Well, I think we might have to cover this topic again because I still have.
Yeah, I got a few people too.
I still have. I mean, I didn't even touch about Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, I had Bobby Fuller.
Yeah, what was that one weird story you sent me?
Yeah, the Bobby Fuller one.
Was it?
Yeah, he was famous for the song I Fought the Law, if you know that.
I do.
Excuse me. He died in July 18th, 1966. His mom found him unresponsive in the front seat of a car. Authorities ruled it a death of asphyxiation.
That's the same word I stumbled on.
Yeah. But they were thinking that it could have been, he was doused in gasoline and he was found with a gas can nearby. So they were thinking possibly.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. He was dating a mobster's girlfriend, so that could have been a problem.
No. No, it's fine.
And then they were also, the manager had like an $800,000 insurance on him, was a lot of money for back then.
Oh, yeah.
They're thinking that he could have got murdered for the insurance as well because he was trying to get rid of the manager, apparently.
Hmm. Who covered the Fought the Law and the Law one later on?
I don't know offhand.
I Fought the Law.
Yeah.
Someone, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yep. Somebody more popular than him. I'm not sure.
Yeah. That's trying to drive me crazy.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
This is what happened. This is how the show started, really. Because we would
pre-internet
and talk about this shit, but this is pre-internet, yeah, and didn't have answers. And then, like you said, all of a sudden be a phone call at midnight. It was Bobby Fuller.
The only other one I had was Donny Hathaway.
Okay, go ahead. What was that story?
He's like a soul legend. I don't really know him very well, but I thought it was kind of interesting. He thought that white people were trying to kill him,
mm-hmm.
and they had connected to his brain to a machine in the purpose of stealing his music and his voice. And then hours later, he was found 15 stories down.
Jumped
out of a window.
What a horrible way to go. That's weird, man, the thinking like that. That's bizarre shit. Okay, well, let's move on to the weed part. I have weed this week.
Yeah. I forgot mine last week, yeah.
That was hilarious. And then we didn't have a light. That was a whole thing. But anyways, I have Sour Kush. Sour Kush is also known as Sour OG Kush. It's a hybrid. It's a cross between Sour Diesel and OG Kush. It says for those looking for daytime pain relief, Sour Kush might be one of the best choices out there. Gives you an uplifting experience without overwhelming sedative effects. Apparently, Sour Kush ignites a giggly and euphoric feeling alongside deep physical relaxation. This strain is extremely pungent, so best stored in tightly sealed containers. It says the feelings you get will be uplifted, giggly, and hungry.
How do you store yours usually?
That's funny you should say that. I try to store it in a jar with a packet.
Yeah.
I like those moisture packets. Back in the old days, I used to put it in the freezer, but that's a bad, bad idea.
Yeah. I don't do that anymore.
No, your trichomes will get knocked off. They freeze and then they get knocked off. And I know that for a fact because they used to make bubble hash. And how do you make bubble hash? You throw your weed in with a bunch of ice, ice water, and you smash them around. And all the little trichomes will get knocked off. And then you filter it out multiple different screen sizes.
Yeah, I keep thinking I should jar it up, but usually just a double bag kind of thing.
I prefer it in a jar. I have a couple of special jars, but just a regular little mason jar. And I definitely like these little packs, the humidity packs, 62%. Just keeps it. I love it when I'm cutting up weed and it's like a little sticky, tight buds. I can't stand it when it's dry powder, burns like shit.
Yeah, we
don't
even have to use scissors, right? You just kind of crumble it.
If I see that happen, I don't even want to smoke it.
Yeah.
They say the negatives for this is a dry mouth, dry eyes, and dizzy. I'm not really a big fan of dizzy, but I'm cool with dry mouth and dry eyes. And it says that the flavors are diesel, pungent, and skunk.
Hmm.
And here, check this out. It says the dominant terpene is, I'm going to bastardize this word, caryophyllene. It says it's a pepper spicy terpene that is good for anti-inflammatory. And then there's two other ones, but it just says myrcene and limousine. I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about at this point, so we're going to move on. So let's fucking roll one up. Yeah, the jar. Jar sound effects. Nice and tight bud.
I'm not sure I've had this kind.
Really? It's also, actually, technically the name on the thing is BC Sour Diesel, but it's just Sour Diesel.
It smells good.
This came actually from a dispensary.
Really?
I'm hesitant to name dispensaries and the people where I get my weed from it. As of yet, I mean, look at the shit we got in for using a song.
Yeah.
Now, apparently, I could use the song. It's just if we end up making money in some kind of way, then this person could come back at us. But like I already said, I don't understand why that was a problem.
It wasn't with the first episode, only the second that there was a copyright. So
yeah, that's really strange.
Yeah.
The guy's name. Check this out. So we were talking about doing Lemmy, right? For the show. So I did a little bit of research and I saw Dave Grohl talking at Lemmy's funeral.
Yep.
And it was such a good little piece. I was actually trying to reach out to him the best I could and just say, hey, you know, do you care if we play this little bit on our silly little podcast? And of course, I didn't get anywhere because he's a big star and I'm nobody.
Yeah.
But and then you came through telling me about this song that got copyrighted. And guess what? His name was like something like Alex Grohl.
Oh, really? Yeah, so it's his dad.
I tried finding him too to say, hey, I got your song off copyright. Free site. What's the deal, yo?
Yeah.
But I didn't get anywhere. So this stuff cuts up pretty nice, actually. Nice
papers are you using today?
I'm using, I can't tell you the name of them. We got them for free at work with Swag.
No Name Blue.
Made by Growers for Growers. Oh, here we go. Remo brand. I've never seen these in the store. They're basically just zigzags, but they're 1.5s.
Yeah.
Which I prefer.
A little longer, yeah.
That and wider. I prefer being able to get a good chunk of weed in there. Maybe back in the day when weed cost so much, you'd roll the doobies a little smaller, but now weed's a little cheaper, so I fucking roll fat ones.
Yeah.
I sure miss blunt reps, so.
I haven't used many.
Oh, I used to use them all the time. And then when Canada came through with the flavor laws where you couldn't have flavored cigarettes. Like they used to have flavored cigarette stuff. As soon as they did that, boof, you couldn't have flavored blunt wraps anymore. And I know we talked about the fact I, you know, neither one of us really like flavored things, but I did like the flavored blunt wrap papers and stuff. I saw some online, cost arm and leg just for the papers, and then on top of that, like it was like maybe $20 or something for a half dozen packs.
Yeah.
$75 delivery.
Yeah. Fuck that. That's usually the way.
Right. Okay, we're just about ready. I do have a lighter this week.
No search for fire.
No search. As a matter of fact, I paused, edited, and took that good chunk of that out. Okay, here we go. Fire in the hole. You use filters? Do you roll with filters?
No, never. I like to have the roaches.
I've come to not care about roaches so much, so.
Really?
And then if you got a filter on there, you don't have to.
I do my roach joints, I must say.
Yeah, I only like roach joints if the roach is hard.
Yeah.
If the roach ends up being soft and loose and leafy, then to me, as far as I'm concerned, it's kind of a shit weed because it didn't have enough oils or whatever to make a good roach.
It's kind of nice having all the different flavors in one. If you have a bunch of different roaches, a bunch of different
weeds. That is true. And then you get like different buzzes and shit, for sure. That's a good point.
I used to have a buddy that used to have like first gen, second gen, third gen, had all these bottles lined up of different roaches.
I think I knew that buddy.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, they had a half dozen fucking jars.
Yeah.
Life's changed though. Like as far as weed goes. Oh, here's something I could mention to you. So my executive producer, Jason Papanopoulos, got back from Germany yesterday.
Oh, really?
Says he's going to have some, because it's weed's legal over there now to a degree.
Yeah.
Medicinal. But he's going to have some guests that he was talking to. We'll be able to interview him.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Like from Germany?
Yeah, right there right now.
Yep. Oh, why he's there. I see. Okay. I understand.
Yeah, he's there for business.
Yep.
I'm not sure what all I can speak about when it comes to the Germany stuff and Israel or whatever.
Yeah.
But he's in talks with a lot of people over there, and we're trying to, I don't know, deal with the market. And again, I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't want to get in trouble. Nothing illegal going on. I just don't know. But so what do you think of this flavor?
It's not bad, actually. Nice and smooth.
Pretty cheap. It was only $80 for an ounce.
Really? Yeah, I'm usually at the 100 mark. Summer's in there.
The wife gets this stuff. It's basically, it's just called all-purpose. But it is different flavors from one time to another. This time it happens to be sour kush, but it's always $80 for an ounce.
I did get that purple grape runts or whatever. I wasn't a fan of it, really.
No way?
It worked fine, just no flavor, really. Mm.
Gotta have my flavor.
It looked good, purple, but yeah.
I had this other purple weed. I couldn't tell you the name of it. Tropical Cookies or something? Purple as hell. I mean, everything was purple. I was expecting a whole lot of flavor and a huge, like a really impressive buzz. Not so much. It was just run of the mill.
Yeah.
So that disappointed me. But these names and the colors and doesn't mean anything.
I remember getting chocolate weed way back in the day. Like Mexican chocolate weed or something. I don't know what the name was. It was so bad.
Full of seeds and stems.
Yeah. And like brown.
Yeah, you could see saw marks in it. Cause yeah. It was a brick. The guy had to cut your eighth off. Well, that's not too bad. Nice smooth.
You ever smoke much hash back in the day?
I have a love-hate relationship with hash. What I like about hash is...
Remember the gold seal? That's what we used to all the time.
That was always the big thing.
Yeah.
I didn't do it until fairly recently. When I say recently, I mean in the last 5 or 10 years. You take it and you flatten it out, and then you roll... This is just the hash, and then you roll it up into a cone.
Yeah.
Stick a pin through it, light it up, and then just kind of hoot off of the... pure hash. That's one of my favorite ways to smoke hash. My only negative part I'd have to say about hash is that there's not a lot of variance in the flavor of it. And the other thing is it's never like, I never got like really, really high off of just smoking hash.
Really? I would say I have.
Well,
lots of hot knives.
Hot knives. Yeah, that's true. Well, see that, you know what? I lie. Cause that is, you'd get a gram. Cost you $15 to $20 back in those days. Today. I can go down here and get 2 grams at the dispensary for, I think it was $22, so $11 a gram.
Yeah.
But yeah, you got hardly any, you got enough money for a six pack, and you got yeah. a quarter of a fucking gram of hash. Definitely two beers, a couple of hoots. Two more beers, couple of hoots.
Then we had the honey oil, the cherry oil.
Mm. Yeah, I didn't mind that cherry oil.
It's just so messy.
Yeah. I learned actually how to make the honey oil.
Really?
I got my own little recipe, and it is all about the cold. Huh. Again.
Yeah.
Keep everything ice cold, and you do go through the process and flush it just the right amount of times, and that stuff will come out. You can read a newspaper through it. It's a beautiful thing. So I'd buy this weed again.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I think I'd give it a 6 papers out of 10.
Yeah, definitely higher than the other one.
6 out of 10 for the papers. And when we run into something that has good flavor, then we'll talk about 8 or 9.
Yeah.
But until then, this is what we got. You feel a buzz out of it?
I do. Yeah, not bad.
Nice, nice. We'll probably smoke another one after I push pause on this recording. Cool. Okay. Well, you got any bands plugged this week?
The Plague Doctor still has a couple shows coming up. The dates are, I'm trying to think. Definitely July 16th in Matsqui. It's kind of a private thing. So if you know me and want an address, just message me. And nice. They have another date at Lana Luz in Vancouver. I just can't think of the date offhand. I know it's a Thursday coming up like soon.
Who, you went to a show just the other day. Who'd you go see?
I did. I went to the Terrifier senior release.
Right.
Yeah, it was really good. At the Astoria.
That's Vancouver, right?
Yeah, on Hastings.
Good stuff.
Yep.
Excellent. I got to go to one of these shows. Like I told you the other night, I love going to shows. I always have a good time when I go.
Yeah.
Getting me there is a different story.
Yeah, I got a few things coming up. I'm taking my daughter to see Baby Metal, which should be kind of fun.
Baby Metal.
Yeah, they're like three Japanese girls that sing in front of a metal band, basically.
Okay.
And do like choreography and stuff. She's totally into it, so it'll be fun for her.
You know I'm going to check that
out. I got Iron Maiden tickets, which I know you're not a Maiden fan, but yeah, I got them for my birthday.
It's not that I'm not a Maiden fan, it's just that they really suck.
Yeah. They're getting up there. It might be their last time to come around, so it'll be good. Not a fan of like the big shows, Rogers, but yeah, it'll be okay.
I know a million people
yeah.
just disagree with me right there, but...
You like what you like, right?
I just never was an Iron Maiden man.
Yeah. Not into the marching metal.
No, I can't even put my finger on it sometimes. It just doesn't do it to my ear.
Yeah.
Every once in a while. And sometimes it's a band that's like so fucking popular and I'm like, why? What? I don't even get this.
You'll even hate them more because the singer has at his concerts like called out people for smoking weed. Like, what are you doing smoking weed at my concert?
My show.
Stop.
Who did that?
Bruce Dickinson, singer from Maiden.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I dislike him even more.
Sorry, Bruce.
Yeah, I'm sure you're listening.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay, well, this is going to be show 3, I guess. Who knows, maybe we'll end up putting out one a week. It's definitely been mentioned a lot to me. So definitely got a good response. I certainly appreciate everybody's support and help. A big thanks again out to Oak for... Oh, the artwork and the song this week.
Yep. Thank you, Oak, so much.
Yep, so much. And what's the name of her store?
Old News and Vintage Vinyl down in Mission.
There you go. Everybody check it out and buy things there.
Yes, do it.
Okay, well, I can't say I'll see you next week, but we'll see you next time.
All right. Have a good night. Cheers.
Later.